Omaha Public Radio presents another luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club on Noon Forum. On today's program, we'll hear a debate on the topic, the mayoral recall. Speaking in favor of the recall of Mayor Jim Suttle, Nicole Jesse, co-chairman of the Mayor Suttle Recall Committee. Speaking against the recall, Omaha attorney Mike Leahy. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Thursday afternoon, January 20th, 2011, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily represent those of the Omaha Press Club, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the program is Gary Kerr, a member of the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee.
Today our noon forum takes a look at the attempt to recall Omaha Mayor Jim Suttle from office. The election to determine whether he remains in office is January 25th. Our speakers represent both the opponents and proponents of the recall. Nicole Jesse here is co-chair of the Mayor Suttle Recall Committee. Mike Leahy, representing the opponents of the recall, is in no official capacity with that group. He is chairman of the Douglas County Democratic Party. We will give each of them 15 minutes to present their arguments and then open our forum to questions from the audience here for the remaining half hour. There is pencil and paper at your tables. Write down your questions, and they will be brought to me to ask from the podium. So, as the result of a coin toss, Nicole Jesse, you will go first for the initial 15 minutes.
Thank you, Gary. I was glad he told me I could come up to the podium because I was afraid if I was sitting down, no one could see me. I want to thank Gary for contacting me in regards to participating in this forum today. Many of you were probably expecting Jeremy Aspen, the other co-spokesperson for the Mayor Suttle Recall Committee, and originally both he and I were going to speak, but it was determined that only one of us should talk, and I basically told Jeremy that he had stolen the limelight far too many times and people were tired of looking at him. So that's why you have me today. Out of respect for the time frame, Mr. Leahy, as well as you, the attendees, there's a lot of things that I could cover, but hopefully in the question and answer period that follows, some of the details and some of the things that you want clarification on will come forward. So I apologize if some of the things that I bring up I'm not able to go into great detail. That's difficult to do in that time frame. It's good that we are able to come together in this type of an atmosphere and in this forum because it helps us to foster a greater understanding on both sides of this important issue for the city of Omaha. We obviously all love this city and have its best interests at heart. And so with that spirit, I do want to talk to you about the reasons why we are for the recall and why I became involved in this effort. I represent the 28,720 signers of the recall petition, as well as those individuals that are unable to vote, yet are forced to pay a commuter wheel tax that they had no say. I want to clarify a couple of things in regards to this process. First of all, this recall is not due to partisan politics. There are some that will lead you to believe that this is just a format for the Republicans. This is not true. I'm here to tell you, as a registered Democrat, I became involved because what I saw was a lack of leadership on the part of our current mayor. 35% of the people who signed that petition are also registered Democrats, and 45% of the people who signed live east of 72nd Street. This is not because of six fat cats in West Omaha that wanted to see a change. This was a grassroots effort that was initiated by business people and the average citizen that are seeking a change in the leadership of Omaha to put us on the right course. A lot of people have said, why recall? Why aren't we waiting and just voting him out in 2 years? There are several reasons for recall, and I'll get into a little bit more of that later. But first of all, one of the main issues is his inability to listen. Budget recommendations were given to the mayor over a year ago by the Nebraska Taxpayers for Freedom as well as the Omaha Alliance. He refuses to look at those recommendations. He has broken promises, he has increased taxes, and he has failed to negotiate feasible union contracts for the city. The taxpayers have not been heard. He does not have the leadership skill set necessary to serve the city of Omaha. Now, there have been a lot of people that have argued, not recall, it's bad, have given various reasons. I'm here to argue as part of this process that recall is an important part of the democratic process. It is our means of holding our elected officials accountable. This is not for illegal actions. And if you believe, as I do, Omahans deserve and expect more than he's not a criminal. This is not for illegal acts. This is whether or not someone is competent and able to do the job that they have been elected for. Some of the other arguments that have been brought up in regards to recall is that recall is divisive. Well, first of all, every campaign out there represents ideas and viewpoints from various sides. To say that this is any different is not true. I would argue that the current tax policies that have implemented are divisive. You have people outside of the city having to pay a tax because they work in the city. You have people choosing to go outside of the city to dine at restaurants and go to bars and use caterers so that they can avoid paying a tax. His policies have been divisive. There is concern that it creates a poor image for the city of Omaha. Well, I don't know about you, but the fact that we were ranked as the 10th highest taxed city in the nation is not a favorable image. And I will remind you that that ranking came out prior to these latest tax increases. The cost. This has been another big issue. $900,000 if we hold three elections. Yes, $900,000 is a lot of money. All elections cost money, and our democratic right costs money. Democracy is not a cheap form of government. We've also had people lose their lives to preserve our way of life and our democracy. It does cost, but sometimes you need to stop the bleeding. The $44 million increase in taxes represent approximately $110 per person in the city of Omaha. This recall election represents $2 a person. I think that clarifies how important this recall is in helping to put the city in the right direction. The other arguments in regards to recall is that it will be disruptive. We won't have a smooth transition. Every election, every change in leadership results in some type of transition. Omaha has been able to do that in the past. The last mayoral recall in 1987, we had no major problems. In fact, after that recall, we saw the beginning of the riverfront development and the revitalization of downtown. This required cooperation on the part of city government and the new administration. This is no different. There's also been question that it's going to jeopardize our triple bond rating. Recall has nothing to do with that. That has to do with our ability to be able to pay our bondholders, and it also has to do with the fact that Omaha has adopted an unlimited taxation policy. That is why we have the AAA bond rating. I want to talk a few minutes about important leadership characteristics and where we are failing to see that with our current mayor. The first one is trust, and I believe that this is a huge leadership characteristic. We need to be able to trust the people that we have elected to serve us and to run our city. Mayor Suttle did not live up to his campaign promises. He promised to lower property taxes, has increased them twice. He told the Omaha Restaurant Association he would not implement the restaurant, bar, and catering tax, and then he turned around and did exactly that. He has accused those of us involved in the recall of being fraudulent and dragged us into court where he lost on all six counts. We were only exercising our constitutional right. We need to be able to trust our leader to listen to what it is we would like him to do. The other very important component of being a good leader is communication. And I would say the most important part of communication, as we all know, is our ability to listen. Mayor Suttle has shown he has been unwilling to listen to the people of Omaha. This was played over and over at various town hall meetings. And I want to share a little story with you. Jenny is here. I won't make you stand up, Jenny. She actually attended one of the town hall meetings prior to the budget being confirmed. At that town hall meeting, she pressed Mayor Suttle as to why they were not looking at more cuts, why we were just looking at increased taxes. He looked at her, held up his hand, and said, "We only have 5 weeks to get this done. There isn't enough time." My question is, what were we doing the other 47 weeks out of the year? When he was pressed by people, attendees, at a Chamber of Commerce meeting this past summer with local business leaders, and I attended that meeting, when he was pressed why cuts were not being made, he made the claim that absolutely no more cuts could be made in the city's budget, that we were operating at bare bones. Yet how is it the city council was able to find over $13 million in cuts prior to this budget being approved? Another important leadership characteristic is collaboration. You need to be able to work with people. Obviously, that follows from having their trust, being able to communicate with them. He was presented ideas. He wouldn't look at them. He told the Omaha Restaurant Association that he wanted us to be involved in discussions to help promote tourism in the city. He never brought us back to the table. He's had difficulty getting approval from the city council on union contracts as well as the budget. He has found ways to circumvent the $20,000 rule requiring city council approval on things such as the car lease, lobbyists, and lawyers. We need to have a mayor that can find a way to work together with people to solve problems. The last characteristic I want to talk to you about is creativity. It is important for anyone in any type of position, whether it is a government leader or someone in charge of a business, to always be open to looking at various options available to deal with problems and situations. You need to be able to do the homework, look at all of the options that are out there that are presented to you. My question for Mayor Suttle is, did he look at what other cities were doing? We're not the only ones in financial crisis. He needs to take a balanced approach, look at all of the options that are available to him. As of today, we don't know if any of that was ever done. He didn't take a balanced approach, as evidenced by the fact that he terminated 190 civilian jobs, yet he left the police and fire departments alone. The civilians took the bulk of the cuts. Omaha is going to needs a mayor who practices due diligence, does his or her homework. He was on the city council and finance committee, yet he claims he didn't know about the budget problems and that there was fuzzy math. He had 4 years to prepare for this job. In any business, people will do the work that they need to do to prepare themselves to take on that new leadership role. We need a mayor who will hold city departments accountable. He was told that there were issues with the fire department, yet he said it was innuendo, it was false, that there were no problems. When a state audit turned up that there were problems and that there were no records that could be audited, nothing happened. If that happened in the private sector, someone would have lost their job. We need a mayor who's going to be effective at union negotiations. We need someone who will hire an outside independent negotiator. The same people have been used to negotiate the contract as in the prior police and fire contracts. Those contracts are part of the reason we're in the financial mess that we are. Why would you use the same people? Mayor Suttle's hands were tied when he accepted union support for his campaign. How can you effectively negotiate union contracts when those are the people that helped get you elected? In the private sector, we would refer to that as a conflict of interest. He said he closed the fire contract when he actually hadn't, and he included those savings into the budget. Now it went to the CIR, and we're responsible for $2 million in back pay. This was because the contract was not finalized, yet he told us that he had the contract in hand. Omaha can't wait 2 more years to wait and elect another mayor. We have 2 more budgets under Mayor Suttle. He has not shown us an ability to make cuts and to get the budget into a position where we can avoid future tax increases. We have two new taxes on the books. He wanted a 4% restaurant, bar, and catering tax. The city council talked him down to 2.5%. But if we don't make significant changes in the budget, it will be at 4%. We will continue to see our taxes go up. He has placed the interest of unions over the taxpayers. The eyes of Omahans have been opened to the issues that have been responsible for the financial challenges that we currently face. And because of that, I want to urge you on several things. First of all, it is very important that you exercise your democratic due right and to vote in every election. Do what you can to make your voice heard. You also need to press your elected officials for answers to make sure that they're doing their homework and that they're practicing due diligence. We need to be involved, each and every one of us, and that's something that this process has taught me. Even though I've always exercised my right to vote, there were a lot of things that I was not paying attention to or looking at, and this has made me aware of the fact that I need to be paying attention to what is going on in the city. We need to be a part of the process to help Omaha become the great city that we know it can be. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole. Jesse, I want to mention one thing again. There is paper and pencil at your tables. Please write your questions down, and they will be brought to me to do from the podium. All right, Mike Leahy is next, and he opposes the recall.
Well, thank you, Gary, and thank you to the Press Club and the Education Committee for putting this forum together. It is a very important conversation for our community to be having. As Gary said, my name is Mike Leahy. I'm an Omaha resident, grew up here. I'm married, father of three. I'm vice president and general counsel of a small insurance company here in Omaha. I am also the chair of the Douglas County Democratic Party. I'm proudly serving in my second term as chair, but I'm really not going to dwell on politics of the recall today. I'm going to talk instead about our city, and I'm going to talk instead and highlight some of the accomplishments of the mayor. Of course, we'll touch on the politics from time to time. I can't help it. I don't have any other hobbies. But I think it's important for us to be focusing on our city at this time rather than the politics. Omaha is a great place to live, work, and play, as Nicole said. But Omaha, like most cities of the metropolitan class, is facing tremendous challenge right now in this economic environment. When the Wall Street meltdown really got going in the spring and summer of 2008, Warren Buffett made a famous comment when the Wall Street banks started to collapse that you don't know who's swimming naked till the tide goes out. Well, we know now that cities like Omaha, in many ways, were swimming naked in terms of their finances and the way they were putting their books together and, in fact, structuring union contracts and benefits. But the issue isn't how we got there. The issue is how we get out of this. How do we fix it? Where do we go from here? And I'd put to you that Mayor Suttle has taken on that challenge directly. And I oppose the recall, as you know, because Omaha cannot afford another lost decade of instability in city government. Now, over the last 5-6 months, as the recall has grown in energy and grown in organization, there's been a lot of noise, a lot of static, and a lot of misinformation about the city's budget, the union contracts, the mayor, and his management style. I'm not going to address every one of those, but I'm going to talk about some of these today. First, it's important to note that the mayor negotiated 0% wage increases for 2009 and 2010, 0%. He reached a settlement with the city retirees that consolidated the city health care plans from 34 separate plans to 4, saving close to $1 million a year. The 2010 general fund budget saw only a $238,000 increase out of a $280 million budget, less than 0.1% growth. I wouldn't say that's excessive spending. As today's numbers show, the city finished the year $3 million in the black with this budget. Via the fire department, boy, has that been a hot topic. Managing the fire department finances to get the department under budget for the first time in 7 years. The appropriated budget for the fire department is less today at $70.6 million for 2011 than when Mayor Suttle took office in 2009 when it was $72.9 million. Again, this is not growth in the department. This is taking a hard look at it. You hear a lot of folks on the recall side say, let's take these union contracts and tear them up. Let's tear them up and start over. They're too long. They're too short. Well, I think most people know, if they take a hard look at it, that those practices are prohibited. The World Herald reported this week that, in fact, those types of practices are considered bad faith under federal labor law. You can't throw the contract away and start over. It's not the way it works. All you can do is engage in good faith bargaining. In the unions, as we all know from the recent news with the CIR, they can say no. And when they do, they can go to Lincoln and they can get a deal that's more harmful to the taxpayers than a negotiated compromise. I'd like to say, I said I was going to try to stay away from politics, but I can't entirely. You hear a lot about the public sector unions versus the private sector. It's interesting in my view because you look at the graphs and you see that public sector union wages and benefits over time have increased, and that's certainly true. But the real story, in my opinion, has always been, why are private sector wages and benefits stagnant? Why have they been stagnant for the last 35 years? The Wall Street Journal recently reported that real wages adjusted for inflation in the private sector stand at 1973 levels. I don't think folks in the private sector should be very happy with that. Now, I think we look at our friends in labor and we say, well, I want that. How come they have that and I can't? Well, that is the benefit of being in a bargaining unit. And to pit private sector workers against public sector workers, I think, is a political game to divide us as a community and to make a boogeyman, if you will, out of public sector workers. They're workers just like the rest of us. Nicole touched on the issue of cost. It is true that if we go through the recall, we will spend nearly $1 million that the city doesn't have. Oh, and I wanted to say, too, I'm more than happy to take questions during this. I tend to kind of ramble, so I'd almost rather have a conversation than just hold forth up here. So if anybody's got a question, throw your hand right up. I mentioned the lost decade. I just got out of college in 1987 when Mayor Boyle was recalled. And I'm going to read you what you might almost call a rogues gallery from the lost decade. Some of you might remember these names. After Mike Boyle was recalled in 1987, we had Steve Tomasek as our acting mayor. Mayor Tomasek's term lasted a year. He left office in 1987. Mayor Tomasek was followed by Mayor Bernie Simon, who took office in 1987. Now, unfortunately, Mayor Simon died in office about a year later in 1988. After Mayor Simon's death, we had Mayor Fred Conley, who served from 1988 to 1988. After Mayor Conley left office, we had Mayor Callinger, who served from 1988 to 1989, followed by P.J. Morgan, who served from 1989 until his resignation in 1994, followed by Mayor Subby Anzaldo, who served from 94 to 95. Folks, we had seven mayors in 8 years after the recall of Mike Boyle. That is a decade of instability. Nicole, in her remarks, said that after the recall of Mayor Boyle, that the transition was just fine. I'd submit to you it was anything but fine. The city suffered, the citizens suffered, and that's why you should oppose the recall of Mayor Suttle.
Well, again, there is paper and pencil at your tables. If you have questions, please write them down and they'll be brought up here, and I've got a bunch to start off. You can, if you want a question to go to a particular person, you're certainly welcome to do that, but I'm going to say to both of them they can answer any of these questions that come up. Nicole Jesse, you said civilians lost jobs, but police and firefighters did not. Do you believe police and firefighters should also lose their jobs?
That's a good question. What I can tell you, and I do have some information in front of me, although I'm not the one that prepared the information that was presented to the mayor, about changes that could be made in the number of personnel that we had both in police and fire. And you may recall in this last budget, they actually froze hiring any additional police officers. So they already made that change. But the other thing with the firefighters, the city of Omaha is one of the only cities. In fact, there's no other city in the Midwest, nor is it in the contract for Los Angeles, New York, where it mandates the number of firefighters that need to be on staff. The city of Omaha is the only one that actually has that language in the contract. And that is one of the things that they are saying needs to be changed. Because as long as that language is in there, the fire department does not have the ability to manage their resources and the people that should be working.
All right. Contracts are two-party. Recall promoters say one side can tear it up or ignore it or simply start new. How can they call union leaders bums and expect good negotiation?
Yes, I certainly agree that contracts need to be negotiated on both sides, and it is important for both sides to come to a consensus. I think the problem that has arisen over this last probably 10 years is when particularly the police contract was negotiated after 2003, there were concessions and increases made in that contract that should never have happened, and that's part of the reason why we're facing the financial difficulty that we have right now. Instead of trying to change that back to what it was before, there were minor concessions made, such as eliminating spiking, but no other real changes were made to the contract. And the same people that negotiated that first contract did it for this last one. We need to find a way to get people involved that are not involved with the city to help us negotiate effective contracts that not only are fair, but feasible. And the reality is we have police and fire contracts that are not economically feasible for the city of Omaha, and we need somebody that's willing to stand up and fight for that.
Mike Leahy, there's been a lot of talk about Mayor Suttle being tone deaf and unable to see the political consequences, the public reaction to some of his policies and the things he has done. Your comment.
Yeah, Mike, I've had a chance to observe Mayor Suttle like the rest of us since he was elected in 2009. Had a chance to get to know him ever so slightly. And I guess I would say this. You hear a lot of folks say that government ought to be run like a business. Why can't they run government like a business? If they could only run government like a business, we wouldn't have all these problems, and you'd have somebody decisive to make the decisions, and we move forward like you do in business. Well, most of you probably know that Mayor Suttle came out of the private sector, executive-level position at HDR. And I would say his decision to directly tackle these union problems, directly attack the budget problems, and not kick it further down the road, as some would do if they could, is a sign of executive leadership. Would he win Boss of the Year if this was a company? Probably not. But I think if you're looking for executive leadership and executive management, that's exactly what he's giving you. Am I going to sit here and say that you should like having a higher tax bill? Heck no. None of us like taxes, not even us Democrats. But we like to look at it in a way that we have to manage the city realistically. And I would say that the mayor has certainly done that. He has been honest with the folks about the financial difficulties that we've been in. And as a matter of fact, in terms of the police contract that they finalized last year, Mayor Suttle got the first union contract out of the city of Omaha that actually provides fewer benefits than the contract that it replaced in at least 30 years in this city. The city's union problems, the pension problems, took about 30 years to create. You can't fix them with one contract, and at least Mayor Suttle's willing to acknowledge that.
Nicole Jesse, this goes to the budget, and the city council did approve this budget that the mayor put forward. This questioner says, didn't the council, rather than the mayor, propose and pass the tax on restaurants and bars? Couldn't the council have overrode, or couldn't the council have used a veto on what the mayor proposed?
It is my understanding, and you can correct me if I am wrong. Yes, the city council did approve the budget, but my understanding is that the budget that was proposed to the city council, they first of all lowered what the mayor wanted for the restaurant tax, because originally he was pushing for 4%, and that had always been the percentage he wanted. They managed to get it down to 2.5%, but once the contracts were negotiated, I think their hands were pretty much tied, because they had, by city charter, come up with a balanced budget. So they had to come up with options to get them to that point. I suppose they could have pushed the mayor a little bit harder, but it's my understanding that he has the veto power based on what they would approve.
Mike Leahy, and this hasn't been brought up yet, which surprises me, but busing some homeless people to the election commissioner's office has come in for a lot of criticism, especially with regard to the procedure under which that was done. And our questioner wants to know, what were the mayor and his people thinking?
Well, the first thing I'll say about the busing issue is I'm sure glad I had nothing to do with this. Nothing blew back on me. Having said that, it was a boneheaded idea. I think the mayor was correct to order that shut down and apologize. This is a very strange and kind of unique election environment. This isn't like a typical every even-numbered year election where things kind of happen the way they always do. There, get out the vote drives. In a recall election, it's a very different feeling. Nerves are on edge, as we all know. There are accusations and counter-accusations going back and forth that aren't necessarily productive to the debate. And I think that to have added that busing issue into that environment was just a big mistake.
Nicole, Jesse, Councilman Ben Gray says, this administration and city council has done more than the previous six administrations. Your comment.
Well, without him giving specifics, I'm not exactly sure what he is referring to as more. But I think I can answer that by saying there, obviously, the financial situation Omaha is in has happened over a period of time. It didn't just happen when Jim Settle became mayor. We're very much aware of that. And every elected official, just like anyone that is promoted to the head of a company, is going to acquire all of the difficulties and problems that have come from prior administrations, prior managers, business leaders, etc. Just because they're there doesn't mean that you don't address them in the most effective way that you possibly can. It doesn't matter when they started. It doesn't matter how deep they go. The point is you are in a position to make the decisions that are in the best interest of the people that you serve. And I think that's the crux of the whole issue with this recall, his inability to listen to the taxpayers and what the citizens of Omaha are telling him that they want him to do.
Mike Leahy, Mayor Settle was on the city council previous to being elected mayor. Certainly should have been able to see what was coming and avoid the no new taxes promise.
I don't think that's necessarily true, and I think it's awfully easy to reach that conclusion. Certainly his service on the council exposed him to far more detail of the inner workings of city budget and finance than probably all of us in this room. So certainly he had that advantage and certainly had the overview of the city's picture. I think the biggest problem that comes along that makes it easy to reach that conclusion that, hey, you broke promises because you had to make some different decisions when you pivot, when you have an economic meltdown such as we've had in this country in the last 2 years. Omaha is actually pretty lucky. We have, by and large, missed a lot of the job loss and high unemployment that we see in other cities around the country. Nicole mentioned a publication recently that said that Omaha is the 9th or 10th highest taxed community in the city. I'd also throw out for good measure that there's another recent publication that said Omaha has the number 2 most favorable business environment in the country. So it's always going to be a grab bag of good decisions and bad decisions, easy things to do and hard things to do. And I personally appreciate a mayor who's willing to make that unpopular decision and face the voters. And I don't want to belabor it, but say a word about the town halls. There were a lot of folks there. I attended a couple of them myself, one out in Elkhorn, I remember in particular. But this mayor exposed these last 2 years' budgets to more public scrutiny than probably any mayor in the history of the city of Omaha.
I'm going to ask you both to respond to this, and this has to do with what the future might hold, and I don't know if either of you know at this point, but what is the mayor proposing to cut in 2012 or 2013? Will he further increase taxes to take care of budget problems?
Me first? I don't know. A lot of people don't know that the city of Omaha in the year 2011 actually employs 20% fewer city employees than it did in 1980, 30 years ago. And certainly we also recognize that the city of Omaha is clearly 20% larger in terms of its infrastructure needs, its social needs, and other needs. So they're already doing more with very much less. You get to a point where you can't cut much farther. Yeah, your hand might be hurt, but just because your hand is injured doesn't mean you're going to cut it off. You might need that hand again someday. You need to work on how to heal that hand and make it better if you can. So I guess what I say is that I don't know what the future holds as far as taxes. I think, again, Omaha is fortunate that we're better off than most other communities of this size. That's why I'm glad I'm not in city government.
I would basically like to say I obviously don't know the answer to that question either. I think that's a question that we need to ask Mayor Settle, and I would encourage you to ask him what he foresees for future budgets, because that obviously is going to be a major concern for all of us. And hopefully he will be able to give you an answer.
And Gary, if I could just add to that, I guess we're both kind of agreeing we don't know what the future holds, and only our elected leaders are going to be able to do that. But I would like to say that there's a sense in this recall of the proponent side of it that if we only had somebody different in the mayor's office, all of our problems would go away. That's magical thinking. It's not reality. And we had, when you look at your decision of whether you're going to oppose the recall or favor the recall, don't engage in that sort of magical thinking that all we need to do is get somebody new that we like, and all of our problems are going to be gone. If Mayor Suttle is recalled, the next mayor and the acting mayor and the interim mayor and all the mayors that come thereafter are all going to have the same limitations and the same challenges.
Again, for both of you, and we'll start with you, Nicole. Jesse, won't the recall hurt the city by providing an image of a city in disarray to those businesses and people who may be thinking about relocating here?
I honestly don't believe that that is true. And I mentioned earlier when I spoke in terms of how the image of the city is being projected, I think we, first of all, are letting people know that we are very involved and want to be involved in what is happening in our city. And obviously we are passionate about what we believe is best for the city of Omaha and the direction we want it to move. I also think, given the current tax structure, we actually, I believe, I mean, as a business owner myself, if I were to look at this environment and I had a choice of where I would open up a business, Omaha would not be at the top of the list, not based on the current taxation policies, because obviously I am in business to make a profit, and anything that is going to further erode that possibility is going to be a detriment to drawing new businesses to this area. So I think our image of attracting businesses to Omaha is damaged because of our current taxation policies.
Mike Lee, you want to talk to image?
Yes. I've talked to a lot of folks, my friends that really aren't terribly political and, you know, sort of detached from all this stuff, not engaged in it. And they're pretty happy with Omaha. We have cool things going on, like the Maha Music Festival, which is a homegrown nonprofit concert series in the summer that some of our young professionals have been putting on. It was recently announced that the Red Eye Music Festival is going to put on a nearly week-long music festival this coming summer. That's great stuff. We've got the Omaha Nighthawks. We've got the Vipers playing soccer. We've got the Olympic swim trials. Let's go back in time and say, I'm just going to pull one of these names out of here. I'm not picking on him personally. If you're the chairman of the United States Olympic Committee and you're talking about where you're going to put the swimming trials in 2018 or 2020, whenever they come up next, are you going to negotiate that deal with interim Mayor Walt Callinger or his predecessor, Mayor Conley, who was there for a year? That's the type of instability that hurts our events. Omaha is an event town. We all know this. We all rally around our events. But it's a competitive environment with cities of Omaha's size to keep these events. If you're that chairman of the Olympic Committee, you're probably going to go to Indianapolis instead of dealing with a mayor who's an interim or an acting mayor who's been there for a year. If Mayor Suttle's recalled, let's count them together. Between today and Election Day in 2013, you'll have had Mayor Jim Suttle, Mayor Gary Gernandt, who'll be acting. You'll have an interim mayor who will be elected this summer, and then you'll have another person, presumably, who's elected in 2013. So between today and 2013, you'll have four mayors. That's instability. That hurts our image.
Can I respond?
Sure.
Well, first of all, the idea that there's going to be four mayors is not entirely true, because it is very possible that one individual will be elected to serve the remaining 2 years for the current administration. But I do want to speak to the point about events. Yes, Omaha is and can be a very good event city. But I want to share with you a story. When it was being proposed of the tax increase for the restaurant, bar, and caterers, one of the caterers that is in the city of Omaha who has done catering for a major Fortune 500 company that regularly holds an annual meeting here in Omaha. They stay in Omaha at the hotels. They purchase their food from a caterer within the city of Omaha limits. when they found out that there was a tax increase proposed that was essentially going to add $3,000 or more to their catering bill, they declined. They said they were not coming to Omaha. So you can talk about all of the events and the things that we want to have, but when we want to attract people to come here for events, we need to make sure it is a climate that is going to be conducive for people to be here. Our hotels and motels already have one of the highest taxes in the country on accommodations. We're adding even more taxes. How are we going to entice people to come to Omaha?
Mike Leahy, this goes to the busing question again. Maybe you don't know. I don't know. But did the mayor know about this? Did he sign off on that?
I doubt it. I don't know. But I'd be surprised if he did.
All right. Omaha was recognized recently as the number one most affordable city, citing low taxes, cost of housing, and police and fire safety. I think that's what this says. Now, taxes and police and fire contracts are listed as the reasons for the recall. Does Omaha not deserve this recognition that I talked about in the beginning, Nicole?
I don't know which list or ranking that you're referring to and how they came up with that number. I'm not familiar. Forbes? Okay. Okay. I didn't see it, so I don't know how they determined that.
Question, and this is, I think, Camden, New Jersey, just laid off one half of its fire department. Dave Nabody was quoted in the paper as saying, fire, not getting it. Is it a reasonable response to endanger the community by this type of action? And, of course, the person is talking about this layoff that occurred in Camden, New Jersey. Jesse, Nicole, what do you think? I mean, do we have to go to layoffs, police, and fire department in order to accomplish these things that need to be accomplished without raising taxes and that kind of thing?
I think one of the proposals that was shown to the mayor would have decreased the fire department for the city of Omaha by approximately, if I'm doing my math here, by maybe 60 people. This was based on a Douglas County judge that ruled last January that the department only needed 180 firefighters per shift to properly man the equipment. And with three shifts, that would basically amount to 540 employees. If you add the bureau employees of 543, the maximum number of employees should only be 583, not 643, which is what's currently in the fire contract.
Mike Leahy, and this goes again to the mayor's negotiations with the fire and police department personnel. Couldn't the mayor have been tougher in negotiating with the police and fire departments? Couldn't he have done more?
I don't know. In a negotiation, the old saying is, at least among lawyers, is if both sides to a negotiation walk away from a deal feeling somewhat dissatisfied, it's probably a fair deal under the circumstances. I'll just repeat that this was the first, at least the police contract, the first public sector union deal struck by a mayor that gave less benefits than the contract had replaced in over 30 years. I'd say that's an accomplishment.
Nicole, Jesse, didn't the mayor walk in, and for both of you, too, I'd like you to respond to this. Didn't the mayor walk into a bad situation over which his options were very limited in putting together a budget? In other words, he didn't have really a lot of choices.
Yes, he did walk into a bad situation, as I mentioned before. As far as not having a lot of choices, I think I've already answered that in stating that there were multiple choices that were proposed to him that he basically chose not to implement.
Mike?
I don't really have much more to add to that. I think Nicole's correct that certainly this mayor and council, when they took office, occupy a very narrow box in terms of the available decision-making that they can do to produce the balanced budget that the law requires them to. I don't think they liked any of the choices that they had, but they've got to make those decisions. Can the mayor take every suggestion that an organization like the Omaha Alliance or Nebraska Taxpayers for Freedom propose? No, and I doubt any mayor ever has. But again, you know, this mayor has exposed this budget considerably to public scrutiny, and maybe that's part of the reason people are so darn mad about it, because they know more about it than they used to. They're paying more attention.
Nicole, Jesse, and I've got a couple of questions with regard to this. The mayor has been criticized for raising taxes but not cutting spending. Can you name some specific cuts that could have been taken that would have resolved this situation without raising taxes?
Well, again, it goes back to a lot of the proposals that were given to the mayor. Let me see if I can grab my notes here. Sorry, I have a lot of information in front of me here. There were several things, just a couple of examples that were given by the Nebraska Taxpayers for Freedom. One was contracting with a private law firm specializing in labor contracts, instituting employee furloughs. There was a matrix study done in 2007 that the city council approved. It cost the city $250,000. And there were multiple examples in that to alleviate the heavy top staffing that was occurring in several areas of city government. And they basically tossed it aside. They didn't utilize any of the recommendations in the matrix report. And that was one of the things that was asked. Why haven't you looked at that? Why haven't you looked at these recommendations to see if there's changes that could be made?
Mike, anything on that? Do you think that the mayor had opportunities to make cuts that he didn't go to, or was this so in place by the time that he came into office that that was not possible to do?
I think given the aftermath of the economic downturn really tied the mayor's hands and the council's hands in a lot of ways. You know, the question when you're talking about cuts, whether it's in business like I am, you know, when we've certainly been running, you know, our own austerity plan over the last couple of years, as is every other business in town. The question is, whose ox is going to get gored? Is it going to be the pools? Is it going to be the libraries? Is it going to be the roads? Is it going to be funding for the Durham? Each of these have a particular constituency that you have to address. And certainly Nicole and the restaurant owners have, you know, they're a very strong constituency with a very big megaphone because they are affected by this. But those decisions were very narrow in terms of what was available to the mayor and the council. Millions of dollars a year go to our cultural organizations, you know, through the tourism dollars. You know, should we not do that? Should we keep it? You might like the zoo. You might like the Durham. But we live in a community where we have to try to support as many of our institutions as we can. And that does involve tough decisions.
Mike Leahy, this is a question directed specifically to you. Since the races for mayor and city council are mandated by the Omaha City Charter as to be nonpartisan, is it proper for the anti-recall forces to be represented by someone identified as a Democrat? You are chairman of the Douglas County Democratic
Party.
Yeah,
I love this question. it is true that the offices of the mayor and the city council are nonpartisan, as is our legislature. The offices are nonpartisan, but the campaigns, decidedly not.
question for both of you, and this I think you answered to some extent, Nicole. Is a recall really appropriate? Shouldn't that be left to deal with things like malfeasance in office? You want to take that up again?
Well, as I mentioned before, and I feel very strongly about this, and I think we can all understand that we have the right to politely disagree on this issue, because I think there are some people that have definite opinions that recall is not the option, and then there are those of us who do. And I can really speak for myself and those people that signed the petition to basically say that recall holds our elected officials accountable. It gives us the opportunity to make sure that they are the public servants that we have elected them to be, which means as a public servant, they need to listen to their constituents. They need to listen to the people who have elected them. As I stated before, I do not believe that we are in a position where we can wait two more years for the next election to have new leadership for Omaha.
Mike Lee.
And again, to that remark or that argument in favor of recall, I always come back to on January 26th, and you've got somebody new on the third floor, what's different? You say you can't wait 2 more years, we can't afford to wait 2 more years. What's different on January 26th if Jim Suttles removed from office? I'd say nothing. I'd say Omaha's still going to have a pension problem to tackle. Omaha's still going to have taxes and revenue issues to address. Those problems aren't going to go away. That comes back to that magical thinking that if we just close our eyes and wish that we had somebody new, that all our problems are going to be gone. It just doesn't work that way.
Mike Leahy, we'll start off with you on this. This goes to accountability. The questioner says, where is the mayor's accountability? There are always excuses for why something happened, but no real answers. The budget and not having the necessary audit documents, staff that earns large sums of money, homeless shelter workers, that kind of thing. This questioner just says, you know, it doesn't look like the mayor's accountable for this stuff. Somebody's not.
Yeah, I guess I can't address all the specifics, but one that does come up frequently, the questioner mentioned, is the mayor's staffing. Everybody in this room that pays attention certainly knows that in certain cases, Mayor Suttle paid those individuals considerably more money than their predecessors under Mayor Fahey. What usually gets lost in the static of that discussion is that Mayor Suttle's overall budget for the mayor's office is the same as Mayor Fahey's was. Mayor Fahey, I guess just on account of his own management style, utilized a lot of interns, a lot of part-timers. Mayor Suttle eliminated those practices, and so you're working with the same amount of money. He's just allocating those dollars differently. So it's not as if he reached into the city's general fund and said, I'm going to take X dollars more to pay this person.
Last question, and this is for both of you. In light of Forbes magazine citing Omaha the most affordable city in the U.S., what are the ratings of the city of Omaha now compared with 2 years ago? You know?
I have no idea.
I was afraid you'd ask. No, I don't know either.
Okay. Well, now we have time for one more question. If Mayor Suttle is recalled, who would you like to see as mayor? Who is likely to run? Both of you.
I have no idea. I know that there's been multiple candidates that have expressed some interest. I am waiting to see what those candidates have to say and what they would do differently. And as I mentioned before, this whole process and everything has really opened my eyes. And I'm going to press whoever that individual is to tell me what will they do. How are they going to do things differently? You know, Mike mentioned before, it'll be business as usual. I don't believe that. I don't think the city of Omaha is going to elect someone as mayor until they know what that person plans to do and how they plan to be an effective leader for the city of Omaha. I have a lot more faith in the people of Omaha that now that their eyes have been opened, they are going to demand to know, and they are going to be asking these people, what are you going to do differently? How are you going to help Omaha deal with these financial issues?
Mike Leahy, you get to wrap up here.
Well, first of all, thanks again for organizing this forum. This was a lot of fun. And Nicole, thank you. It's been fun having a conversation.
Thanks, Mike.
If Mayor Suttle's removed from office, as I hope and believe he will not be, I don't know. I haven't the foggiest idea who will be mayor. I'm not sure who would want to be mayor in the wake of a recall. certainly, given the roll call that I made, we're going to have a number of them if Mayor Suttle's removed, at least in the short term. So and Omaha is blessed as a community to have a lot of fine business people and elected officials to choose from.
Well, that concludes our forum. Please thank our participants with some applause. Also, thanks to our audience here at the Press Club and our KIOS radio audience. And before we close, I would like to mention just a couple of things. Our forum next month, February 17th, we'll take a look at the effect of the Internet on the mainstream news media. And in March, we're going to get all the particulars on the new College World Series baseball field that you can look down on here from the Press Club. We are adjourned.
You've been listening to a luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club on Noon Forum. We've heard a debate on the topic, the mayoral recall. Speaking in favor of the recall of Mayor Jim Suttle, Nicole Jesse, co-chairman of the Mayor Suttle Recall Committee. Speaking against the recall, Omaha attorney Mike Leahy. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Thursday afternoon, January 20th, 2011, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. The Omaha Press Club presents these noontime educational forums each month. The next program will be Thursday, February 17th at 12 noon. At that time, the guest speaker will be Gary Kebbe, Dean of the College of Journalism and Mass Communications at the University of Nebraska at Lincoln. His topic will be, New Media and Old Media, Will They Coexist? If you'd like to attend this or other future programs in the series, call the Omaha Press Club at 345-8008. These events are open to both members and non-members of the Omaha Press Club. The Omaha Press Club is located on the 22nd floor of the First National Center, 16th and Dodge, in downtown Omaha. Complete Noon Forum listings, as well as an archive of previous broadcasts, and podcasts of selected Noon Forum programs are available on our website, kios.org. The election for the recall of Mayor Jim Suttle will take place in Omaha tomorrow, January 25th. The polls will be open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Even though this is a one-issue election, and in spite of the messages contained in recent paid political ads, this election is no less important than any primary or general election. It is not only the right, but the responsibility and duty of every eligible citizen of Omaha to register and vote in this process. The number of issues and number of elections notwithstanding, every election is vitally important and must be participated in. Remember, the only wasted vote is the one not cast. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.